thank you for letting me be with you this week. And your hospitality already has been wonderful. And we appreciate the privilege to be with you. And what am I doing wrong? Okay. Oh, thank you. Amen. I'm not as refined as some of these other guys. I can't leave my coat on and preach. And so you all just have to, you know, I told one church one time, I said, if it offends you, take a half a baby aspirin and get over it. Amen. Let me share this thought with you. I got so much running through my head, and I know we've had a long day, and it's been wonderful. Amen. But like Brother Woody said, this is camp meeting, and we do it once a year, and it's what we come for. So years ago, how many of you grandparents? Any grandparents here? How many remember your first grandchild? How excited you were? My dad, when he got his first grandbaby, Holly, she was very colicky, and after about, she developed colicky at a certain age. I forget what it was, but she's still just a baby in arms. And Debbie called and said, "We've been up all night for two or three weeks. I'm going crazy. I need help." So what do grandparents do? They get in the car. They drive, 3.5 hours north. They come to the house. Ta-da, grandparents are here to the rescue, right? So I'm still living at home, so I go with them. We're there. Holly's crying like crazy. Now, you have to also understand, grandparents have weird ideas. I know, I am one. She used to have a pacifier in her mouth all the time, and my dad would take the pacifier out of her mouth and throw it away. So, oh, that pacifier is going to make you have, this thing looks like a snake. Will it hurt you if I move? Will it be all right if I do that? Okay. I'm not as tall as some of you others anyway. But anyway, make her have buck teeth. So he's always taking her pacifier. He hated this pacifier. Okay? And so now all of a sudden, grandparents were in the house. Dad, grandpa says, "I got first watch. You ladies go to bed. I got Holly. I'll take care of her." I'm upstairs with a pillow over my head. They're all in their rooms, and Holly is crying her eyes out. Colicky, will not stop crying, and all of a sudden, probably about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, all of us, almost like somebody pushed a buzzer, we all got out of bed almost at the same time, ran in, turned the lights on, and the house looks like a tornado has just gone through it from one end to the other. Couch cushions are on the floor. Boxes are dumped. All kitchen cupboards are all open and stuff all over the place. And so we're looking like, what in the world has happened in the dark while we've been asleep and you've had this baby? So my sister says to my dad, I never will forget it, "Dad, just give her pacifier. If you give her pacifier, she'll sleep for 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes, and we'll all get a little sleep, but it'll help for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Give her pacifier." And I remember the look on my dad's face going, "But I can't find it." Now you know how the house got like that, amen? He's out there tearing the house apart, looking for something he hated because he loved someone who loved it. Is that sinking in yet? Sometimes it's hard to go out and knock on doors and reach this lost and dying world, and sometimes we don't even like them. But if we love him, who loves them? We'll go look for them because we love him who loves them. It's all about the love. Love is a great motivator. And I preached this in the last camp meeting, John chapter 20. You ought to go look at it. Faith is love is a good motivator. Faith is a good sustainer. But grace is what will keep you hanging around. And you need to look at that chapter sometime when you get a chance and study about love. Love's wonderful, but love won't get you in. And love won't take you far enough. And so you need faith. And I want to preach tonight, if God will let me, something that God put on my heart about a week and a half ago in 1 Kings chapter 17. I know this is a familiar passage, and I know y'all probably have it memorized, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of a twist on it tonight, a little thought that God gave me, tying two stories together in this chapter, and there's a reason behind it. Can I say this to you tonight? You're hearing things. Let me ask you this. How many of you are hearing some things for the very first time? Okay, good, thank you, you're being honest. And so let me teach you, if I can say this as kindly and as sweetly and as heartfelt as I can say this, I want to help you understand why we have churches full of gray-headed babies. And why we have, and I'm saying this from experience because I travel all over and I'm telling you they're there and they're real. Okay? They've been, one preacher told my pastor, I've been pastoring 62 years. And he kept saying, but show me in the Bible what you're saying. And he said, but I've been preaching 62 years. And that's not the answer. That's Mark chapter 7. You full well reject the commandments of God that you may hold the tradition of the elders. I didn't forget it, brother. Amen. You know what's happening in the fundamentalist movement? We're holding the tradition of the elders, and we're full well rejecting the Word of God. Now, let me share this thought with you, and it'll help you in your spiritual growth. I guarantee you, and I know this for a fact, because it is exactly how God has taught me, and it's exactly how I have grown, and it's exactly how I learned. And if God does it with me, He'll do it with everybody, and I believe it's a biblical principle. When something is being taught that we do not understand, what we say to ourselves is, I need to study this. I need to look at this. I need to dig in this. And can I say to you, go right ahead. Go right ahead and study and dig. But when the Spirit of God says something is right, whether you understand it, agree with it, or not, you need to accept it. Okay? Do you know why most people don't grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we're living in a day and age where you have to prove everything you say. I don't have to prove anything. All I got to do is read the Word of God, and when the Holy Spirit says, that's right, you need to say, yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen? Now, when I was wrong, and I got news for you, in 1997, there was a major change in me. And what happened was, is God had to humble me and show me where I was wrong. And it didn't bother me. For 22 years, I had been preaching it wrong. But I didn't have a problem with falling on my face and saying, okay, God, I do not understand what I'm hearing. It's different than what I've been taught by the brethren in three different Bible colleges. Yeah. Amen. But I know the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Do you know what's wrong with most Christians today? They don't know the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now, by the way, let me just say this to you. If I use the word Holy Ghost, don't get all scared on me, okay? I'm not Pentecostal. I'm Baptist, and I've been around longer. Baptists have been around longer than Pentecostals have been. We've been shouting it out and praising God and saying amen and hallelujah and glory to God. And grandmas used to throw bonnets in the air. Amen. Amen. And preachers used to get their hankies out and they'd wave them. Amen. Oh, I lost y'all on that one, did I? Okay. Well, sorry. When you get saved, you get a hanky. No, I'm just kidding. But there you go. Amen. But what we happen to do is get into the flesh with all of that.
Yeah.
And now we got afraid to mention the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit because we don't want to be labeled Pentecostal. I remember in the 70s and 80s when every Baptist preacher I knew backed away from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and didn't talk about Him anymore. And by the way, they're the same person.
Yeah.
Okay, just in case you think, I had a guy tell me one time when I got done, do you believe there's four in the Trinity? I said, you just listen to the statement you just made? Anyway, four in the Trinity. Woo, yeah. No, there's four in a quartet. And so, anyway, but my point is, you and I need to know the voice of the Spirit of God. He is your comforter. He is your guide. He is to guide you into most everything that's correct. He's to guide you into all truth. Amen. And let me give you this next thought. Jesus is the Word. The Son of God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among, amen. And because the Word, and the Word was with God, Word was God, and the same as in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, without Him was anything made that was made. Amen. He is the Word. They have a spoken Word of God. There is a written Word of God. No, you don't believe that? Amen? And there's a living word of God. Amen? And to say there's mistakes in one is to say there's mistakes in the other. Be careful. Amen? And they agree, and they don't contradict. And so you have the living word and the written word, and they're one and the same. So we have a Bible that's true and accurate. And every word of it is true and right, and we can believe every word of it. And as Brother Woody said, I think this afternoon, it's not the whole story. Amen? It's true and accurate, but it's not the whole. If the whole story was written, we couldn't carry the volumes. We couldn't carry it around the volumes. The world could not contain the volumes that would be written therein. Amen? It's not the whole story, but it's all we need. It's everything we need. It is the full canon of the Scriptures. It's all there, and you and I need to learn to trust it and believe it. I was dealing with some men at a Bible college, and I don't want to name which Bible college it was because I don't want to embarrass those at Hiles Anderson. And I ain't trying to be ugly, but they don't believe the Bible. See, how do you know? I was there. I was there when Mr. Godfrey said to me in the classroom, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with my spirit." We know that's a mistake in the King James Bible because the Spirit's not in it. Isn't that right, Brother Woodside? I said, "Brother, please don't address me in this matter. Just go ahead and teach your class and leave me alone. I'll give you the answers you want for your test." After the third time he said that, I stood up and took the rest of the class time and taught why that's not a mistake. And the problem is you don't have enough faith in God and you're probably lost. I'm convinced the number one problem we have in our churches is a lack of faith. The sin, he said, let us run the race that's set before us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what I think the sin that doth so easily beset all of us, the one that probably gets us the most, is the one that he dealt with the disciples the most. Every time the disciples, he was dealing with them, how come you lack of faith? How come you can't believe? O thou of little faith. You know, the biggest thing you and I struggle with is just believing God. No, I believe God. No, I know you say you do, and I know I say I do, but when the rubber meets the road, can we really, really, really believe God? Faith is the number one issue, I believe, that's lacking in the New Testament church because we see it everywhere we go that folks just won't believe. They won't look at. If this songbook has a song that's unscriptural, but you've sang it since you're a kid, tear it out. It's okay. Amen. No, but grandma sang it. Oh, it's grandma's favorite song. Well, who cares? Amen. Why can't we have enough faith and enough courage and enough fort? And by the way, faith gives you strength. If you're going to, listen, I don't know if you're going to believe what you've heard. I don't know if you're going to change your position. I don't know if you're going to accept anything. But can I say this to you? Don't believe a word you hear from any of us. Go home and ask God, are these nuts right? And when the Spirit of God says no, they're wrong about that, say thank you. And when the Spirit of God says, yes, they're right about that, or yes, this is correct, say thank you. But that goes against everything I believe. That goes against everything I've been taught. That goes against everything I understand. Throw it away and by faith accept what the Lord tells you. That's how you grow. Matter of fact, that's how we teach our children. Why do we tell little children to do something and they want to know all the things, and sometimes we can give them answers, and sometimes we can't. Sometimes we just say, Dad knows best. You're going to have to trust me on this. Just go do it. God knows best. Trust God. Learn to hear the Spirit of God speaking to you and let Him guide you in all truth, and then let Jesus, the Word, open your understanding to the Word. Is that sinking in yet? When they walked with Jesus after his resurrection, and he said, did not our hearts burn within us? And he opened our understanding to the word. Paul, an apostle, Paul, the positive apostle to a persevering preacher named Timothy. Paul's telling Timothy, hey, bless God, believe every word I tell you. I am an apostle, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. I walked with the Lord on the backside of the desert. I know exactly what I'm talking about. You need to listen to what I'm telling you. If anybody had a right to say that, it's not the fundamentalist Baptist preacher, it's Paul. Amen? But Paul didn't say that. Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You and I need to learn to ask God what's right, and when the Spirit of God tells us it's right, and Jesus opens our understanding, we need to just say, okay, I accept it, now you teach me. And when God teaches you, it'll be yours between you and God, and no man will ever come along and shake you on it. When a different preacher stands in this pulpit 20 years from now, if Jesus tarries, maybe Brother Panetta's in another work, or maybe he's gone to be with the Lord, but another man stands here and changes something, you're going to still stand on what God taught you. What God delivered to your soul. You're going to, listen, there's some dark days coming, friends, and you're going to have to learn to trust God, stand with God, hold on with God, because God's going to be all you got. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17, very familiar story. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was from the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord, Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, who's he stand before? Lord God of Israel. I don't care about man. Amen? There shall not be dew nor rain these years according to according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Father, help me one more time as I preach tonight. Hide me behind the cross. Take my mind and my thoughts and my tongue, and let this body glorify you. We'll give you the honor and glory in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This is a familiar passage. You all know it. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've read it. You've studied it. More than likely, you've heard messages preached on it. But I want to give you a thought here tonight that may help you, that preachers, all of us need to have our faith strengthened from time to time. All of us need to learn to trust God just a little bit more. Amen? And there's times in our lives where things are going to happen, where hard times we'll face, where difficulties will be upon us, where the famine will come, and we don't know what's going to happen next. We can't see the end of the road. We don't understand how we'll survive for 3 years. We find out, hey, we don't know how he's going to survive. We don't know how long this is going to last. We just know that, listen, if we don't trust God, there is no hope. You and I need to learn that in the darkest of your times, the hardest times you face in your life, you better believe you still got God. Amen. And you better turn to him, and you better fall on your face, and you better say, okay, God. Listen, can you imagine how hard it was for him to walk up to the according to chapter 16, verse 30, and Ahab, the son of Amariah, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that was before him. And up in verse 25, and Amariah wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that was before him. Hey, he was worse than his daddy, and his daddy was the worst of the bunch. And he's coming up before this wicked king and saying, listen, there's not going to be any rain. Sometimes we have to make the hard statements. Sometimes we have to say the things that aren't easy to say, that people don't want to hear, and it's going to be tough to swallow. Some will believe and some won't, but will we still stand on what God has told us? Are you standing with what God has taught you? Are you standing with what God has taught you? I'm standing on what God has taught me, but I'm finding out there's a lot of stuff that man has taught me that I'm still trying to figure out if it's God or man or what. Amen? And there's some stuff I'm going to shake. In 1997, I piled up everything I knew and I set it on fire and burned it all up and said, God, I've settled in. It's you. I got this. That part of it, he taught me and delivered to my soul and made a change in me. And I'm not afraid to say when I'm wrong. It ain't God's fault I'm wrong.
Right.
It didn't lessen God any because I'm wrong.
Amen.
And by the way, it doesn't lessen you any when you're wrong.
Amen.
What lessens you is when you're wrong and you know it and you won't change.
Yeah, that's good.
It's okay to be wrong. Can I say there's three types of people in the world? There's a foolish man. That's a man that never learns from their mistakes. There's a smart man or person, if you want to say it that way, that's a person that does learn from their mistakes. And then there's a wise person, that's a person that learns from other people's mistakes. I don't want to ever be a fool. Lord God, please let me learn from my mistakes. I hope and pray I'm smart, amen, and learn from my mistakes. I don't ever want to be a fool and not learn. I want to be smart and learn. But Lord, let me be wise whenever I can. Let me learn from other people's mistakes. Can I share this with you? I was growing up at age 12. I surrendered to preach the gospel, and I'm in a pastor's home, and I'm listening to preachers on a weekly basis. They're coming by, or we're going over to their house, and I'm learning. And pastors are saying, "Hey, have you been through this problem before? I'm going through a problem in my church. How do you? Any help for me? Hey, do you have any Bible verses that can help me with this problem or this thought or this doctrine?" And preachers were helping preachers. We don't do that anymore. Amen. It's okay to listen to each other. It's okay to seek help. There's good counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. Amen. But I was growing up listening to this, and God was training me for the ministry that he was calling me to. And so now here I am with all these years of listening to churches, problems and difficulties and situations and foundational issues and things like that. Now we're able to help those churches when we come in, not because we are know-it-all, because we're know-it-somes. Amen. I'm not a know-it-all, I'm a know-it-some. There's some things God's taught me, and God has taught me. And that's what I preach, and that's what I stand on, and the rest of it, I don't know. Amen? This man, Elijah, standing before the king with a test from God, are you going to say what I tell you to say, no matter how they feel about it? Number two, moving down through this thing, and he says this, there's going to be a famine. But after he tells them all of that, God says, the Lord comes to him in verse number 3, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and it is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, catch this. Elijah is just listened to the Lord, went to Ahab, told him like it was, famine's coming. Sorry, no rain, nothing's coming, so we know famine's coming from that. And so be it, that's what it is. God tells him to turn eastward. Now, I've not been here that long, but I'm pretty sure that's east. Right?
Amen?
And that's west. Now, when God gives instruction, it's probably best that we follow it pretty closely. Anybody ever follow a compass? Amen? You want to follow a compass and I tell you to do east by northeast, so many degrees? If you want to get where I'm telling you to go, it's a good idea to follow east by northeast so many degrees. If you want to be 3 miles off, go ahead and take off 1 degree. And the further you go, the further off you're going to be. Notice what took place here. He said, go eastward, go to this brook, and you're going to be able to find drink there. Aren't you glad God has a provision for you? Aren't you glad he has something planned? This, hey, God's not doing this willy-nilly.
Right.
God didn't wake up one morning and go, let me say that one more time. God has never gone, That's me and you. Amen? It is never, nothing has ever occurred to God. We're the ones that the light comes on. Amen? I had an Italian boss, and for a while I was a corporate trainer. And if I tell an Italian joke and you're Italian and it hurts your feelings, get over it. I grew up where we used to tell all kinds of jokes about all kinds of people, and when they would tell jokes, we just laugh and get over it. Amen? Amen? Do you know why Italians have shrugged shoulders and flat foreheads? Because if you ask them a question, they go, and you tell them the answer, they say, Mamma mia. I told my Italian, Joe Scottolini. Is that not an Italian name? I told him that. I thought he was going to fall out of his chair laughing. Amen? Nothing has ever occurred to God. But when God says go eastward, you better go eastward. When God says go to the brook, you better go to the brook. Now, notice there's a word here, and I want to read this again, and I want you to read this word with me. Verse number 4, and it came, to, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Say the next word. There. Where's there? Right where God said there was. You and I need to realize when God says there, he means there, not there. There, not there. When God says there's important, amen? And don't be a mile down the road, down the brook from there, you're liable to miss the ravens.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? God has provision, and notice this is all being done by faith.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
He's not been in this situation before. Have you been in some situations you've never been before? Have you been in some situations you've never been before? Have you faced some things you've never faced before? Hey, we're not the first. We won't be the last. We still have a God that knows where there is and has appointed a there. And if we could just get there, we could be taken care of. It'll all be all right there. It won't be all right there. It'll be all right there. Amen. Aren't you glad ravens know where there is? Can I say this to you? Ravens understand where there is more than we understand where there is. The ravens didn't miss God's directions. Amen. You and I may have a hard time finding where there is, but they don't. So get there. So by faith, he goes there. By faith. Now you have to catch this. He's sitting there drinking of this brook and watching ravens come morning and night. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you know you've seen miracles in your life just like that? Let me help you. You have seen miracles in your life just like that. Now, I know Brother Woody talked about miracles this morning, and Jesus is not going to come back and perform miracles like he did of the like during that apostolic age. And during that time, that has finished, and I agree to 100% with what you said. But he's still performing miracles. Salvation is a miracle. What happens when God saves a person is a miracle. Amen. God's still taking good care. Hey, we can't explain how at the end of the month we've had the money that we've had and paid the bills that we paid and didn't know where it came from. God's still performing miracles.
Yeah.
And you and I need to realize that God wants to take care of us, but we need to be there. And we're going to miss what God has for us if we're there and not there. And so he's there, he's watching, he's seeing, his faith is increasing day after day. This is happening. And then all of a sudden, something happens. The brook dries up. I must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
Woe is me. I'm so terrible. God must be mad at me. The brook dried up. Is that what happened here? No, life happens. You know, when rain doesn't fall upstream, after a while, brooks dry up. There's just a natural thing that happens on this earth. It's called life. God is not a puppet master sitting in heaven, puppet mastering everything. You don't believe that? I do. If I lose you on this, I lose you on that. So I'll still preach it anyhow because I believe it's right. God is not set in heaven puppet mastering everything. We have free will. God's a gentleman who never forced himself on anyone. When you got saved because he came and wooed you and the Spirit of God drew you and convicted you. And you surrendered. You had to surrender. Amen? Now that you're saved, he's still wanting to work in your life and use you, but you have to surrender. He's not going to force himself on you. Now, there is the whole gamut of what's taking place that God is in charge of, but he is not puppet mastering each and every one of our little lives. We have free will. We have free choice. And we can make good decisions or bad decisions, and you reap what you sow. Amen. Sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh a whirlwind. Well, I thought God was in charge. No, no. You can sow to the flesh and reap of the flesh a whirlwind. Sow to the Spirit and reap of the Spirit life everlasting. It's how you want to sow. Hey, go right ahead. Do what you want to do. You could be a drunk if you want to, but when you get cirrhosis of the liver, that's what you get when you're a drunk.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Good preaching, preacher.
Amen.
And so this brook dries up. But God still got a plan. Now listen, and I want to make this point and I'll be done. Hopefully if I can get to this the way I want to put it across, you pray for me, please. Preachers, men, God's trying to teach us and increase our faith because we have a responsibility to help increase other people's faith. You know what a testimony service is? Testimony is when folks start bragging about what God's been doing in their life. And you know what that does to somebody else? Increases their faith. When someone hears how God saved an old sinner, oh, there's hope for me. Amen? God was strengthening his faith so that he could be the man of God he needed to be to help increase somebody else's faith. Look, if you would, for just a moment. Verse number 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Why did the brook dry up, guys? No rain. God didn't do this. This is what happens when no rain, brooks dry up. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Elijah's sitting there going, oh, this happened once before. I remember once before he told me I had to go tell Ahab, no rain. And then he told me, go sit here by the brook and drink and watch the ravens come. Woo-hoo! God's going to say something else. Do you know why God gives us help and strength and encourages us? So that we'll learn to trust him when he speaks next time. That we'll learn to believe him when he tells us something more. Because you see, folks, you and I need to learn to grow in our faith so we can accept when God says something, we will just go ahead and do it. Do you not want your children to do the same thing? Do you not say, hey, when I say, get your shoes on and get to the car, I don't mean 10 minutes from now.
Yeah,
amen. When God speaks to us, we need to just do what he says. By faith, trust him. Has God ever let you down? Is God ever going to let you down? Is God ever going to hold back? God has got this, and you and I need to learn to trust him. And that's where we struggle. He said this, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Well, there's that commanding again. He commanded ravens. Now he's commanded a widow woman. Where? Read it. Commanded a widow woman. Where? There. There's another there. You see, don't move from there till God tells you where the next there is. Don't prematurely get up from there. Well, the water's been gone for 3 days. I better fix my problem. I better solve this. No, just stay there till God tells you the next there. My wife and I are going through a personal situation. And you know what we do as daddies and granddaddies? When there's a problem, we fix it. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're fixers. Is there no problem too hard for dad? My grandkids call me T. Is there no problem too hard for T? T can do anything. I'm super T. I can fix it. My grandson comes to me and says, T, can you fix it? I can fix it, son. I don't care what it is, I can fix it. But there's some things T can't fix. There's some things Daddy Duck can't fix. There's some things that Daddy has to rely on God. And so me in my fix-it mode, me and my, I can handle, we got this all fixed. I start to talk to my wife and we start to make plans. We're going to leave my wife with the grandkids to take care of the grandkids, and I'm going to go on with the ministry, and I'm going to go on and preach, and I'm going to go on and help some churches, and you're going to have to stay here. It's the only logical answer. And I'm sitting in church on a Sunday morning, and guess who shows up? The Holy Ghost. And he says, whose children are those? I hate when he asks me those questions. They're yours. Then you take your wife and you go do what I've called you to do, and I'll take care of this. You know what the hard thing to do is? Leave there and go there. Because God said there's where the next there is. But you don't understand. I'm comfortable here. Ravens come. I'm used to this place. I like it right here. I've kind of camped here. This has been a good... We got along. Hey, I got a shade tree. This is all right. No, but God said, you need to go there. One of the hardest things to do is by faith. See, I just preached to me. You all just get to get in on it. Amen. The hardest thing is to leave there and go there. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose. I like that. Amen. He didn't dilly-dally. He didn't run around. He got up. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, like this is some strange thing that it would happen when God said that that's what was there. Behold, a widow woman was where? A widow woman was there. Why would it surprise us that God would have a widow woman there when he said, go there and there'd be ravens, and then we went there and there was ravens, and now he said, go there and there'd be a widow woman, and we go there and we're surprised, widow woman. Why is it that when God does these things, we are so surprised? What kind of God do we serve? Why is our faith so weak that we can't get up from there and go, I get to go over there? God said over there is a widow woman, and it's going to be exciting to see what goes on over there. Because here was pretty cool. Here was pretty awesome. Here was pretty good. I saw ravens come every day. Thank you. Yep. Oh, this one's Fred. I named him Fred. Here, Fred. Yep, thank you. I saw cool things here. I wonder how awesome it's going to be over there. And so we get up. And we go over there, and we walk in the gate, and there it is, just like God said. And she's gathering sticks, and he called unto her, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Not too unusual of a request, even though they're in the middle of a drought, but you're neighborly, and a stranger passing by, you're going to give them a little water. Yes, this is yes, there's no one I'm confused. You with me? And then he says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, now this is where the faith comes in. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, say the next two words out loud. Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. You know what he just, listen, I'll be done, I promise, in just 25, 35, 45 minutes. He said, you don't understand. I was over there, and God said, go there, and there'd be ravens and water. And then after all the water's gone, God said for me to come over there, and there'd be a widow woman, and guess what? I showed up, and you're here. And so I'm telling you, can you imagine the faith this man of God has to look a widow woman in the eye that's going to make a cake for her and her son, and that's all they've got left and going to die, and to look in her eyes and say, that's a great idea, but you make for me first. That's gutsy. That's gutsy. But that's what God said. You know why he had enough faith to look her in the eye and say that? Because he was sitting over here and his faith was growing with the ravens. His faith was growing over here. And when he got over there, from there to there, his faith was strong enough to say, listen, I know you're not going to understand this, but trust me, God's got this. Do like I tell you, go make for me first. Well, if the man of God says so, see, sometimes people can't believe. Sometimes they need to see our faith to increase their faith so they can grow in faith. Our churches are full of a lot of faithless baby Christians, and they need to see the man of God's faith strong enough to believe God and take a stand. And it might just increase their faith. And so she did. And verse number 14, and thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Trust me. I wonder, men of God, do we have enough faith that we could do that? If God said do that. Do we have enough faith to say this is what God has said? There's been a couple of times in my ministry that the Spirit of God has said this is done. Go ahead and brag and tell God thank you and tell everybody it's done. Don't you think it was hard to go tell everybody that it was done? But you see, when the Spirit of God says it's done, it's done. Some of you look at me like a calf staring at a new gate. I'll tell you the story real quickly. Eileen Arbogast, you can call her, she lives in West Virginia, had a tumor in the back of her head. She was losing eyesight and hearing. We finally figured out it was a tumor. They removed the tumor in January, and her sight was coming back and her hearing was coming back, and everything was fine. It's now the last week of March, first week of April. And our church went to a camp meeting, and she stayed behind. She went to the doctor, and my phone rang, and we were on our way to go pray as a church. And in the camp meeting, we were going to be there Thursday night, Friday night, and go back on Saturday. And my phone rings, and I'm in the bus, van, and the whole church, the group that's with us, I don't know, 10, 15 of us, whatever it was. And she's crying, Pastor, I can't take it. They found another tumor. I can't take it. And she's screaming. And I'm her pastor, and my heart's aching, and I'm going, oh, Lord, she can't take it. And I knew this woman, and she had been through, and she was at her wit's end, and they found a tumor in her jaw on this side. I said, sis, I don't know what to do except pray for you. And I prayed with her on the phone, and we hung up, and we went and finished our journey over to where we were going to pray. And we all got out and went up in the woods, and we're sitting there praying, and we're calling out to God, and we're saying, God, and her son, which one of my deacons, he was laying on the ground over there, and my wife was over here, and some other folks were over here, and people of the church are all scattered around. I'm standing there, and I'm praying. And just like us pastors do, we pray by going through the auditorium. You know what I mean? You look for faces, this pray for this. And I got around to Miss Eileen, and I began to pray for her, and I began to cry out and call God. And I said, God, listen, I know you can do this. There's no doubt in my mind you can remove this tumor. I'm asking you, as the man of God that you called me to be, I'm her pastor. You've called me to be her pastor. I have no doubt about that. I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I'm asking you, God, would you take this tumor? You've got to take this tumor. She can't take it no more. And immediately the Spirit of God said, thank God it's done. You say, well, I don't believe that. No, that's what I'm telling you. So I looked at her boy and I said, Terry, stand up. Thank God your mama's tumor's gone. I told the whole church that was around me. I said, her tumor's gone. Everybody stand up and thank God. Where you are, pray and thank God that Eileen's tumor's gone. You say, I don't believe this. Some of you look at me like you are nuts. It's okay. Maybe I'll never get asked to preach again, but I'm going to tell you anyhow because it's true. Thursday night, we went to the camp meeting. I'd been in the preacher's office, and I shared the story with him. And he said, I want you to tell the camp meeting. I said, okay. I told the whole camp meeting. I said, her tumor's gone. Saturday, we went home, and Saturday night, our church gets together and prays every Saturday night. And we were there, and I told the whole church, and Miss Eileen was there. And I said, Miss Eileen, your tumor's gone. God said it's gone. I'm preaching on faith, folks. Amen. I'm preaching on faith. I said, God said your tumor's gone, Miss Eileen. Sunday morning, we're live on the radio. Our Sunday morning service for 9 years was live on Froggy Country Music radio station. Now, I got a lot of flack from fundamental Baptist preachers about being on a country music station, but I told them I was trying to reach the lost, not their people. Yeah. But some of them had been listening. You'll get that joke in a minute, amen? And so the radio station told us we had 225 to 250,000 listeners every Sunday morning. We reached three quarters of West Virginia, part of Ohio, part of Pennsylvania, part of Maryland, and part of Virginia. If everybody in that region turned the radio on, we had 380,000 listeners. But they said by their scale, however they could tell how many people were listening, 225 to 250,000 listeners, and they put us on live starting at 2 minutes after 11 and left us till 12:30 if that's how long we needed. And they left us on. So Sunday morning, I get up and the folks are shouting it out, they're praising the Lord. And I said, listen, this is what happened. This is what God said. This is what's done. Her tumor's gone. I told the whole radio station that. I'm preaching about faith, folks. You're either going to believe God or you're not. Listen, if God said it, you can believe it. Problem is do we know what the Spirit of God sounds like? Do we know His voice? Or are we skeptical? Monday morning, she went. Monday morning, she got MRI number one, CAT scan number two, MRI number three, CAT scan number four, X-ray number five, and the doctor's sitting there going, I don't understand it. It's gone.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. Don't tell Miss Eileen that. Well, it was something. No. I seen the X-ray. There was a tumor there. And it wasn't a little tumor. It was a big tumor. And that was on Thursday. And on Monday, it was gone. Do we have enough faith to believe God? Do we have enough faith to look a widow woman in the eye and say, God said, I know you think all you've got left, but God said this is what you need to do. I'm here to help increase your faith. And she made for him, and they all ate until the rain came. I wonder how many people in my lifetime, Brother Mac, that I hindered their faith. That I didn't voice what God said. I'm not talking about name it, claim it. I'm not any of that junk. Listen to me, folks. I'm a Baptist, okay? Don't get scared with what I'm preaching. I'm trying to tell you the God we serve. I'm trying to tell you how big He is. I'm trying to tell you what He can do. I'm trying to tell you He's real. In my lifetime, I saw God give blinded eyes sight again. And the doctor looked and said, I'm sorry, I can't let you fly planes no more. You're still blind. I'm looking in your eyes. You're still blind. He said, Doc, I'm not blind. He said, look at your tie. And he told him what color tie he was wearing. And he goes, watch, Doc. He said, can I touch your nose if I was blind? He said, I'm not blind. And he goes, but you're blind. Man came, and the whole church had been praying for a year and a half. God, let me have my eyesight back. And God gave him his sight back. He loved to fly. He couldn't get his pilot's license back, but he could fly with another pilot. Another pilot get in there, and he pilot the plane. He'd take off and land. And the other pilot sit over here and go, okay, we'll fly, go right ahead. That's what God can do.
Amen.
You and I, how's our faith? We say we're saved. We say we love the Lord. We say we're trusting Him. We say He's our God. We say He's in charge. We say we're believing Him. This is His kingdom. Hey, if it's His kingdom, He's in charge.
Amen.
If it's His kingdom, He can do what He wants.
Yeah.
By the way, God can and will do whatever He wants to.
Yeah.
If you put him in a box, look out, you ain't got one big enough, he's liable to bust it.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a car before when God showed up? Have you ever been in your car before when God showed up? There's not room for both of you. Amen. I was heading down the highway, had my wife in the truck and my kids were in the camper in the back. We had a camper shell on the back and I was pulling a trailer. And I was heading down the road, and we started listening to this group that was singing, a really good Christian group. And boy, God was on it. And you know, when God starts blessing, man, I started shouting it out. And next thing I knew, I pulled off on the side of the road, threw that car, that truck up in first gear, shut it off. Two laps around the truck I went, and up the highway I went. I wouldn't have done that. Well, I know. Maybe you ought to start praising God a little more. Don't be afraid to praise Him. You say, I'm in the middle of 75. I don't care if it's on the middle of Interstate 75. My son taps on the window, opens up, and he looks up and says, Mama, is Daddy coming back? She said, I don't know. If we don't, we'll go get him. How come it's so hard for us to praise Him? I'll tell you why. Because we don't have the faith we need to believe Him. Because if we could believe Him, testifying about Him and bragging about Him and talking about Him and praising His name everywhere we go would not be hard. When's the last time the Spirit of God spoke to you and said, go there? And the Spirit of God spoke and said, go there. I'll give you this last illustration if God will let me and I'll be done. I'm in Walmart. I hate Walmart. It's Baptist headquarters. I'm in Walmart. I'm looking at cards and I'm reading these cards. I may have told the story. I don't know, but I'm going to tell it anyhow again because God said to it, I'm going to do it. And down the aisle, there's a woman, and she's pulling the cards out. And every time she reads a card, she starts crying. She puts the card back. I thought it was kind of strange. She pulls another card out, and she opens it up, and she starts crying harder. She puts it back. I pull the card out, and I looked at it, and God said, hug her and tell her I said I love her. I know, some of you still looking at me like a calf staring at Newgate. It's okay. I don't care. I argued with God too. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to go home with two black eyes and have to explain to my wife. Hugging a strange woman in Walmart. So I put the card down. I moved a little bit closer. And I pulled another card out, stalling. You know, there's sometimes when God speaks, you really want to make sure you get clarification. She pulls another card out. She puts it back. And God said, I said, hug her and tell her I said I love her. So I walked down. I reached around and put my arm around her shoulder. I pulled her over to me and I said, God told me to tell you He loves you. Oh, I needed to hear that. Oh, I had just been praying, asking God if He forgot me. Did He love me? Did He care about me? I'd just been asking God today. Oh, God, You've left me alone. I feel so empty. I just needed to hear that. I needed to know God loves me. And out the door she ran. I'd never seen her before and I've never seen her since. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. It's probably why God hasn't asked you to. But do you have enough faith to do what God tells you to do, no matter how strange it is? Go to a brook and let ravens feed you. That's pretty strange. Go to a widow woman and tell her I said, feed me, and I'll take care of you through this famine. How's your faith tonight? Is it strong? Is it weak? Is it ready to follow God? Is it ready to believe whatever the Spirit of God tells you? And I challenge you this tonight, and I mean this with all my heart. I mean this as kind and loving as I can. I'm serious tonight. I travel and I see a lot of churches, and the number one thing I feel is going on in our churches and what I see is folks are just going through the motions of church, and there's no real faith in God anymore. Where's our act of faith as a church body? Where's our act of faith as individuals, as daddies, as mamas, as children? Aren't we supposed to be teaching our children to trust God? They're only going to do what they see us and what they learn from us. And I'll give you this one more thought. Use your children now in church. Who was I talking to about? You? Was that you I was talking about? Use your children now in church. Teach them. They have a place in the Lord's house now. Because when they turn 18, they're going to go off and do their own thing because the church isn't theirs. Where they've been meeting isn't theirs. That's not their group. They just went there because mom and dad made them. Help them find out. I was 12 years old teaching Sunday school, 12 years old leading singing. Get your children in church, being used of God. Let them do something. Teach them, train them. Help their faith to grow now. I thank God that my wife and I both grew up in church. We have not a perfect faith. Ours is struggling sometimes. But we have a strong faith. And when mine gets a little weak, she whispers over to me and slaps me. Whispers to me and says, "What's wrong with you?" And when hers is a little weak, I reach over and hug her and say, "It's all right. God's got this." And we have to remind each other every once in a while. But I've got a God that can do anything, brother. Amen. He's proved it. I've watched him take a vehicle that was turning sideways and turn it straight when it should have been wrecked. I watched me on Highway 40 coming into Asheville, fully ice-covered cars coming in, don't even know there's ice on the road, and they're coming in and they're wiping out all around us, spinning, and I'm in the left lane and I'm just hunkered in and I'm watching cars spin and just barely miss me, spin and just barely miss me, and I'm not letting off the gas, I'm not touching the brake, and I'm just going, just trying to keep the truck and trailer from wrecking, and I'm watching the angels of God, going, pushing them away. What God can do. You and I need to trust Him. You trusted Him with your never dying soul. Go ahead and trust Him with your little bit of 100 years if you're lucky and blessed. Trust Him with your little 100 years. Just have faith and believe Him. He's got this. He's got this. Father, bless your people.